Welcome to The Talk at Revolution, where each week we explore what it looks like to find Jesus and live like Him in a practical way. At Revolution Community Church, we know that we are better together. Each week, we look to celebrate Jesus, connect with others, and contribute to the church, community, and beyond. If you'd like to connect with Revolution or take a next step, please visit us at revolutioncc.org or at our Logansport, Indiana campus, located at 3930 East Market Street. And now, we hope you are encouraged and challenged by this talk. So this is the final week of Make Room, this series where we're talking about three spiritual practices that help us make more room for God in our lives. And we've looked at prayer and fasting over the first 2 weeks. And we looked at these practices in hopefully some new ways and challenging ways. These practices are things that we can live out as individuals to make more room for God in our lives. But we also talked about both of these practices in corporate ways. In ways where we can practice these things as a church body. And I said several times over these past couple weeks that these two ideas, prayer and fasting, they are going to be a big part of our culture and DNA as a church moving forward. And I'm actually going to be sharing a little bit more about that next week at our parking lot party, celebrating 10 years as a church. Next Sunday, if you're watching this on Labor Day Sunday or the day before Labor Day, we are having a huge celebration next Sunday in the parking lot of our physical campus at the Revolution campus. And again, we hope you'll attend in person for this event. There's going to be plenty of room for social distancing. It's going to be outdoor. There's going to be food, games, live music. And the time has changed. Again, take note of this. 5 p.m. is when all the festivities will begin on September 13th. So there's several reasons for that time change, but again, parking lot party, 10-year celebration, 5 p.m., Logansport campus parking lot. So we'll be talking a little bit more about that prayer and fasting culture, and also just challenge you to continue thinking about how to be involved in the 21-day fast that is going to begin the day after that parking lot party. So I'm calling Revolution to 21 days of prayer and fasting on September 14th, the day after, and you can participate in whatever way you feel God is calling you to participate. We'll talk more about this next weekend as we celebrate 10 years. So let's just start today with prayer as we begin this final week of Make Room. So God, we thank you so much for all that you've done in this series, for all that you're going to do today as we kind of think through this final practice that we're working through in this series, God, that makes more room for you in our life. So guide this time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, if you're watching this during one of our premiered online gatherings on Sunday, September 5th, then you know that tomorrow is an American holiday that most of us probably really enjoy. Tomorrow is Labor Day, and I'm sure we all do different things on Labor Day to celebrate. So here's what I want you to do. Just share something in the comments right now as we're kind of watching this together. Just share something that you usually do on Labor Day or that you're planning on doing tomorrow on this Labor Day holiday. Maybe it's cookout or go on the boat for the last time, float the river, swimming, biking, watching baseball, something. So let's just celebrate in the comments, kind of share how we celebrate Labor Day. And as you're doing that, let me just talk a little bit more about it. Labor Day, it's a really cool holiday because it's on a Monday, but it doesn't feel like a Monday at all, right? It's the greatest gift that could ever be given to the American worker. It's taking a day that many of us dread, you know, that Monday, and making it a day we anticipate. It's a Monday that feels like a Saturday. And Labor Day is an amazing gift, right? Because Americans are busy. Many of us are really busy. And some of us are really stressed out and consumed with getting things accomplished, or we feel like we're never going to get ahead. We feel like the pace is never going to slow down. And we've talked about, like, this year has been a little bit different with that. But I think with school starting back up and the economy picking back up, we have quickly switched back into American hyperspeed. And because of that, many of us feel like we don't have time for the things we want to do, or we feel like there's not enough time in a week to get it all done. We feel like we could use 8 days if we were given the option, or maybe even 9 days. So a day of the week that we normally don't have off, that we get off on the first Monday of September, it's a gift. And what's so cool about today, the conclusion of our Make Room series, is that God gave us a spiritual practice that is a much better gift than Labor Day. It's a practice that helps us make more time in our schedule for the things that matter most in life. It's a practice that gives us an opportunity to rest and recover. It's a practice that makes more room in our lives, more room in our schedule, in our time for God. And long before Matthew McGuire or Peter McGuire, we're not sure who exactly founded Labor Day, this holiday, these two dudes, But long before the idea of Labor Day was ever established, God had already established this amazing Labor Day-ish gift that was to be celebrated and practiced not once a year, but every week in the life of his followers. And this practice, it's actually the oldest practice of the three things we've looked at in this series, because God models this idea of Sabbath at the very beginning of time itself. God first modeled this practice that would later be identified as Sabbath, and we'll see where that shows up. But he models it in Genesis chapter 2, right after he breathes life into this clay masterpiece that God called man. It says this in Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to read it. It says, "So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. And in verse 2, on the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation." So God worked and then he rested. And he declared the day that he rested to be a blessed day. I don't know if you saw that word show up. It was the very first Sabbath. So Sabbath, simply put, it is a day of the week that is set aside to rest and honor God. It's a practice that follows the rhythm of work that God set in the creation story. 6 days on, one day off. And it doesn't matter which day. Let me just get that out of the way right here. If you're wondering, it doesn't matter which day of the week. It's simply about taking one day, and that one day offering it to God as Sabbath. And it's a practice that honors God because it follows the model of work that he gave us right at the beginning. And just like we talked about with Labor Day, Sabbath is a gift. This is so important to understand. It's not just something we need to do. It's something that meets our needs. It's a gift for us. It's a practice that brings blessing into our lives and our families and our health and our schedules and our emotions. And this is really important to understand, because if we're not careful, we'll lose the whole concept of Sabbath right off the bat by thinking it's just another thing we have to do. We put it on the calendar like everything else, and we're like, well, we got to get our Sabbath in this week. But we can't think of Sabbath as just another thing to do. Sabbath is permission to not do. And although we do have to be intentional with practicing it, it's not going to naturally happen in our busy culture unless we intentionally prioritize it. But it's not about accomplishing something. It's about letting go of the word accomplish or the word progress or the word work for a day and saying, God, this day, it's yours to refresh and equip me for another week. That's what makes it very different from the other practices in this series. Thinking Sabbath is just another thing we do would totally ruin its meaning and the blessing behind the practice. Because Sabbath, it's a practice that requires us to not do, so that God can do something in us. It makes room. I mean, literally makes 24 hours of room for God to do a work in us. And Jesus spoke to this idea of Sabbath as it being a gift as well. Let me read what Jesus says. It's Mark chapter 2, verse 27. It says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath.'" And that's so important. Sabbath is a gift. It's not some ritualistic, like you got to do it this exact way or whatever. It's a blessing. It's a gift. It's a practice designed by God and endorsed by Jesus to bring blessing into our lives. So God modeled it right at the beginning. Jesus endorsed it. So let's just end with a story of people that practiced it or tried to practice it, I should say. Let's end with that. The first time we see God's people, the Hebrew people, begin to practice Sabbath, it's Exodus chapter 16. And actually, if you want to turn there, you can, because we're going to read several verses in Exodus 16. And I think it relates to our lives, this story that happens. And let me just give you a little context before we dive into these verses. But the people of Israel, they have been set free from slavery in the nation of Egypt. Over 400 years of slavery, 24/7, brutal, life-threatening slavery. But now they think life is far worse than slavery because they don't have any food to eat. And as I was reading this, it sounds a lot like my kids when they get home from school. Like they walk in the door and the way they describe their hunger, it's like, how did you even make it from the bus stop to the house being that hungry? But these people, the Hebrews, they think their hunger is worse than intense 24 hours a day, brutal slavery. So they are literally complaining to God and saying, we wish we would have died in Egypt where we were slaves, because at least our bellies would have been full. So, I mean, yes, and we can blame them, but we see ourselves in this story and in the story of the Hebrew people so much. But so God, in his amazing grace, he decides to work a miracle for the people. And he starts sending this supernatural food from the sky called manna. And here's the plan he gives the people in regards to collecting and eating the manna. It's a very specific plan. On days 1 through 5, God says, just collect what you need for that day. If you collect more than you need, it's going to go bad. It's going to get all maggoty and nasty. And yes, I just used the word maggot as an adjective, but it's just going to get all nasty. And it's not going to last for the next day. So just get as much as you need for that day, each day, days 1 through 5. And of course, you know, the why to this was because God wanted them to work for their food. He didn't want the manna to just fall in their mouths and they just get it, you know, with no work at all. So they had to go out each day and get it. And he wanted them to trust him for their daily provision. Like, I'm not giving you the option of collecting enough manna for the whole week on Monday. You got to go out Monday through Friday every single day and work for it. And you got to get out in the heat of the desert and the sun and gather it and believe that each day I'm going to send it again. I'm going to provide for you every single day by day. So that was days 1 through 5. And then here was the final instruction. On day 6, okay, it's a different plan. Make sure you collect twice as much as you'll need so that you'll have enough for 2 days, Friday and Saturday. So here's what happens. Exodus chapter 16, if you turn there, I'm going to read several verses here. It says, on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much as usual, 4 quarts for each person instead of 2. Then all the leaders of the community came and asked Moses for an explanation. He told them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow will be a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath day set apart for the Lord. So bake or boil as much as you want today and set aside what is left for tomorrow. So they put aside until morning, just as Moses had commanded. And in the morning, the leftover food was wholesome and good without maggots or odor. So there's the word right there. It's used. So Moses said, eat this food today, for today is a Sabbath day. There's the word. Today is a Sabbath day dedicated to the Lord. There will be no food on the ground today. You may gather the food for 6 days, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. There will be no food on the ground that day. And look at what happens. So 5 days, you go out every day and gather. On the sixth day, you got to gather for 2 days because nothing's coming on the seventh day because that's a Sabbath day to rest. But look at what happens. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it. And why would they do that? When they've been given exact specific instructions on what to do and what not to do, why would some of them choose to completely dismiss the instructions and disobey God? Like, when God, like, why would they do this? When God was giving them a way to take a day off and rest, why would they not listen? I mean, here's ultimately the answer. This is hard, But this is the answer, because they didn't trust God. That's the ultimate issue. That's ultimately why we don't practice Sabbath today, because we don't trust God. And I'm sure the people that went out on that seventh day were thinking, well, it's rained down magic bread for six straight days, and I've had a ton of competition to get what my family needs. I mean, can you imagine a million Hebrew people out in the desert fighting for this magic bread that fell from heaven? I mean, it would have been just a crazy occurrence. People probably pushing and shoving a little bit to get manna for their family at times. And even though, you know, there's enough out there, like there's just that distrust, right? And some people probably thought, okay, if I go out on day seven and somehow God forgot to turn the manna fountain off, then I'm not going to have any competition and I'll be able to get more manna than I could imagine and store that stuff up. I might not even have to go out next week. It's that same thought that so many of us have in our capitalism culture that struggle with the concept of Sabbath and rest in general. This isn't just about Sabbath, it's about rest. But we think, you know, 6 days of the week are cutthroat with competition. And it doesn't matter what business or field of organization life or whatever that you're in, insurance, real estate, construction, education, farming. I mean, it's tough. It's tough to make a living in our culture, especially right now. And we think, well, if I can just go out one more day than everyone else, don't take a Sabbath, don't set apart one day to rest, then I'll get ahead of the competition. I mean, 7 days of work in progress and accomplishment is better than six, right? The math seems to work. I'll get more money and more business and more happy customers and more happiness and whatever it may be. But see, here's the result of Israel. And I believe the result of us when we choose to not follow this practice. It's the end of verse 27. So go back, if you looked it up, go back to verse 27 and let me just, here's what it says at the end. But they found none. They found none. And I'll read the whole verse again. Nevertheless, so those individuals that went out on that seventh day, nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. See, there is no more to be found when we choose to ignore Sabbath. The math seems to make sense. But God established life in his kingdom to work differently. That's what God created. He created human beings to live within a rhythm of 6 days on, one day off. And yeah, we might make more money or gain more customers or buy more toys if we work harder. But we lose out in so many other areas. The most important areas. I mean, faith, family, and friends. Those are the three areas that we miss out on when we ignore Sabbath. There's not really more. I don't care what the checking account says. There's not really more when we ignore this principle. So two more verses in that story. It says, verse 28, then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. There's that word given. That is why on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. The Lord has given us the Sabbath. Sabbath is a gift. It's not just something we need to do. It's something that meets our needs. It's a practice that requires us to not do so that God can do something in us. So as you think about living out this practice, maybe for the first time, maybe you've never heard of this, maybe you've never tried this, or maybe you have and you've kind of given up on it or busyness kind of creeps back in somehow. But as we're thinking about living this practice out, this idea of restful rhythms, I want us to think about this statement as I'm closing today. It's just an anonymous quote. It says, time isn't just a commodity that we buy, sell, and trade. Time is a resource that is given to us to steward. And I think you could put the word energy in there as well. Energy, it's not just a commodity we buy, sell, and trade. It's a resource given to us to steward. How are we doing with that? With stewarding our time and our energy for what's best. James, the brother of Jesus, here's how he kind of said it. Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. and Sabbath, and really restful rhythms in general. Sabbath is just one of the restful rhythms, I believe, that God has established for us. There's so many others. But Sabbath is one way to say, I don't want to just get more done with my life. I want to do the best things. I want to live out my time the way God designed for it to be lived out, in this rhythm of 6 days on, one day off. Six and one. And I know that in living it out, that's a way to honor God. And in doing that, as I commit my time to God in faith, saying, God, I know you can do more with six of my days than I can do with seven. God blesses our life. I'm not just talking about financially. I'm talking about in the areas that matter more than anything else, our faith, our family, and our friendships. And I think all of us, we really want that. So I just challenge you to think about this practice as we live it out on this Sunday. You know, let it be part of our rhythm, our week. And let us live within this idea that God established as a gift for us to live out. So God, thank you for this opportunity to experience this online service. And I pray for my friends. I pray for my life. I pray for our family that we would establish this principle. We would live within this practice, knowing that your blessing comes from this. Thank you for that. Amen.